Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Lord used the evangelist St. Luke in a marvelous and mighty way. St. Luke was the only Gentile whom the Holy Spirit used to write the inspired word. He is responsible for two New Testament books, his gospel account and the book of Acts. The fact that the Holy Spirit used this man is a source of comfort and certainty for us too. The Holy Spirit uses us in our daily vocations to hopefully witness of his saving gospel in words and actions. Now, St. Luke isn't mentioned much in Scripture, never mentioned in his gospel account, and so he isn't mentioned in today's Holy Gospel concerning the 70 sent out by Christ. Some traditions number St. Luke among that group. But in his own words, St. Luke explains his gospel account with these words from his introduction in chapter 1. There he describes how the account came to him. Just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us. So it isn't likely that St. Luke was one of the group sent out by Christ. St. Luke needed to rely on eyewitness accounts himself. Most likely he became a believer after the resurrection of Christ, that he was converted through the preaching of the apostles, but it's also possible that he had heard Jesus preach and teach. There is more gospel comfort and joy for us, that the eyewitness accounts were preserved in the word through the centuries and generations following, down to our lifetime. Then witnesses to the word from among pastors and teachers and faithful others believed, taught, confessed, and lived the word of God, so that we too can rejoice that our names are written in heaven. But this gospel account reminds us that we don't focus on any one or anything in particular except the work and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of his church. As we see this group sent out in today's gospel, we also see the proper work and priority of the church today. And where you find the church and her ministry, there it can and should be said, in the words of our Lord recorded in today's Holy Gospel, the kingdom of God has come near to you. And so today's Holy Gospel begins, after this the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on before his face, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. Here we see Jesus making ready to visit many towns and villages. He sends them before his face because he has set his face to go to Jerusalem for his suffering and death. Nothing and no one would keep him from that saving work. He sends them before his face to remind them and us of the priority and central message of all mission work, his perfect life, suffering, death, and resurrection, for eternal salvation offered to the world of sinners. Already here, Jesus wants the people to know he is here, he is coming, no matter what. Jesus sends them out two by two as a comfort and support. Whatever skill one lacked, the other would have. Everyone isn't given the same gifts, but they have one and the same message. Also, by God's Old Testament command, what is thus spoken from the word of the Lord would have at least one witness to support that message. Christ sends them out, but he is with them as the word made flesh who is planted in them with the Holy Spirit. Jesus begins his instructions to them with this proposal. The harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Praying for laborers for the harvest has been part of the church's prayer ever since. Not only are we to pray that new laborers be sent, but also that those already sent are guided and aided. You yourselves were gathered to the faith by the Holy Spirit, perhaps through the efforts of parents, other family members, most certainly by pastors. Jesus continues his sending command and his instructions. Go your way. Take note, I send you out as lambs among wolves. The call to labor for the Lord's harvest is not for the faint of heart. There are serious dangers ahead for the Lord's laborers. And certainly we know of that in our American culture. The devil cannot stand for the gospel message to be shared with the world of sinners. He resists and battles against this evangelical work of the church. This is why there never will be 100% success in numbers of souls and dollars brought in particular with human programs regarding this mission activity. Jesus makes it quite clear. He warns that when one household receives the saving gospel in faith by the Holy Spirit, another household will reject it in unbelief. And so, the laborers in the harvest will suffer ridicule, hardships, even death for their work in the harvest. Still, as they are sent by Christ, they can therefore be encouraged by the divine origin of their work. It begins and is conducted in and with Christ Jesus, the head of his body, the church. And those laborers can rest assured that Christ is always with them, helping them. So that the 70 would learn to rely on Christ alone, Jesus sends them out empty-handed on this temporary mission trip. He told them, carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. In their being sent, the kingdom of God was coming to the people to whom they are sent. And the kingdom of God will provide for the ministers of his word, not by miraculous means, but through the simple gifts of the hearers. Excuse me. Jesus further told them what to say in the homes into which they are invited. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. This absolution and benediction, this giving of the peace of God, it's understood in the message of John the Baptizer, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That peace is that which believers possess in the sure knowledge that their sins are forgiven through Christ Jesus our Lord. If no one in the house receives this gift, the word, in faith, then that peace returns to those giving it. Forgiveness is received only in faith. So also Jesus reinforces with these words the purpose and building of his church. Such a purpose is not for entertaining consumers and promising that their heart's content will be met by the church. Jesus continues his instructions, and remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Since it is ultimately Christ himself who provides for the laborer, they are to be satisfied with what they receive. Likewise, the hearers should know that they are to provide for those who bring the gospel to their ears. This gift comes from the Savior himself. Christ here tells us that for his sake, the laborer deserves his wages. Also, the laborer isn't to be looking about for better lodging. Instead, as Jesus teaches here, that mission worker is to be satisfied with the place where Christ has set him down, or more literally, where Christ has cast him like seed planted for a harvest. And this is reinforced by the Lord's words here. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. St. Luke proceeds with Jesus' message to the 70 being sent out. And heal the sick in it and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. At that sending, Jesus gave the group the authority and power to heal the sick, to prove that the kingdom of God has come upon them. Today, Christ has given his body, the church, the office of the holy ministry. Through this office, his word is preached and taught. His sacraments are administered according to his institution. And because of these instructions, you know where the kingdom of God comes near to you. The healing of the sick proved that Christ was on earth to those of that day. And his word proves where Christ and his kingdom can be found today. His word here proves that his church is not and will not be a people-pleasing organization. Considering all this, what do you and I take to heart from this gospel and take with us? For starters, think about what we have here in Cramer Chapel. The Lord's word is preached and taught in its truth and purity. The Lord's sacraments are administered rightly, all within what is the Lord's church and no one else's. The kingdom of God has come near to you. Later in his gospel account, St. Luke records these words of our Lord, but rather seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. For the sake of Jesus' suffering and death, the Heavenly Father has given you all things, including his word and sacraments. Also, remember to pray the church's prayer by yourself for laborers for the harvest, that all the Father's children would be gathered into the loving arms of the Good Shepherd. Pray for those sent to work the harvest, that the Lord keep them faithful in the word, especially for you students preparing for the holy office. Consider your sins, sins of pride, quarreling, laziness, anger. Truly, we are in this together, unworthy before the Lord. That's why we aren't constantly singing with the psalmist, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We keep today's holy gospel in mind of what Jesus wants his church to be, how he makes and preserves his church according to his good and gracious will. Here, Christ speaks his faith-strengthening word to us. Here, he feeds us forgiveness in his holy communion. The kingdom of God has come near to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.